Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So yeah. This is what you're listening to right now. This is part one of two of our WrestleMania
coverage
extravaganza
reactions.
Right now, we're recording this after WrestleMania.
Yes.
But before the following Raw.
Right.
So this episode, we'll be covering NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania, and then the next episode later in this week.
The rest of the week.
We'll cover Raw and SmackDown and kind of Fallout and where we go from here.
Yep.
So, it will be fun because you probably won't listen to this before you watch Raw.
Sure, so you can be like, oh, those guys are idiots. if they only knew what was about to happen.
Yes. So, that's why that might happen, but hilarious for all involved.
Absolutely.
But we do have a ton to talk about.
Sure. I suppose we should probably just start with TakeOver.
Yeah, let's do TakeOver first.
Okay. Overall, you know, it was a good show. It might be the first year out of the, well, last two, I guess, where I'm not really sure. Well, I guess only one, because last year was the only one that had the TakeOver before the Mania.
Yeah.
So, as opposed to last year, I can't definitively say if one was better than the other. Because WrestleMania wasn't bad. The only thing bad about it was that it was 5 hours long.
This really, I think watching them back to back like this highlights the differences.
Sure.
In what that level of storytelling can do. That level of, I don't want to say like that skill level, but like that amount of, showmanship. As far as the show goes, not the people.
Sure.
They have Nakamura, and that's the most showmanship.
Right.
But, like, the showmanship of the show as a whole.
That, like, half hour of showmanship is worth about, 5 hours of showmanship for the main roster.
It did not have that definitive, the real main event feel that last year's had. And part of that, not just part of that. A lot of that was the build-up. And we've really talked a ton about the build-up already.
Yeah, and exactly what was lacking and,
Right. And we always had this little asterisk of like, but I'm sure they'll pull it out in the end.
Right, and, and they did.
And they did.
I mean, it didn't blow us away.
Yes.
Other TakeOvers did. And I will say, the main event with Nakamura and Bobby Roode, I felt was better than their last match.
Yes. But I don't think it was the best match either one of them had ever had.
No, by far, not even close.
Which,
to
like,
and especially Nakamura.
Not to just jump to the end, but like, part of me felt like it should have been. It was a swan song of sorts for Nakamura.
Yeah.
And it was a coronation of sorts for Bobby Roode, being definitively, quote unquote, the new face of the company.
Yeah.
I was expecting easily better than their previous, and among the top of both of theirs, like top five matches for both of them.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But as far as the tag team match was really good, I thought.
Tag team match was incredible.
They took forever to eliminate anybody, but I'm fine with that. Because
I really feel like every time the Authors of Pain come out, I have this like, this is the match I get tired of them.
Right.
This is the one where it's not going to work for me. Because it shouldn't work for me.
I will say, I constantly forget previous matches, and I am constantly underestimating them. Because every time their music hits, I'm kind of like, oh, it's these guys. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, right, they're coming along pretty well. And, Paul Ellering, for as, bat poop crazy of an old man he is, he actually does a pretty good job with these guys.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like, because, the real risk of all that would have been like, oh, well, they're the champions, but their shortcomings are going to be highlighted, putting them up against DIY and Revival.
Right.
But that wasn't the case at all. No. I felt like they really held their own among two great NXT tag teams.
This was a really great triple threat where each team brought something to the match. Far, far too often, especially in the tag team division, when you have a triple threat kind of thing, there's this guy versus this guy, and I'm also here.
Right. I will say this, because I will ask you this, because I know we, us in the group that we watched it with kind of had a short discussion about it while we were watching it. do you think it would have been better if it was a tornado tag rather than a regular two guys? Because
I mean, I've said it before on the podcast. I think any tag team match would be better as a tornado tag.
Right. And honestly, I don't think it would have changed the match all that much because they were very lenient on exactly who was allowed in the ring at any point in time, because there was very few moments where it was actually the two legal guys
The ring. Which is why I feel like tornado tag should be the default tag team match.
Yeah.
And then we should have to call this tag in, tag out version something funny.
I will say this, just a short little tangent on that. The next morning, the morning before WrestleMania, me and my roommate were at the mall because he was looking for a really bad t-shirt to wear. We went to FYE, and they do have, because they have a little WWE section, they do have a WWE rule book that you could buy.
No, I've seen that, yeah.
But it was a little too expensive, so never mind. It was like 20-some bucks. I was like, yeah, I can't justify that.
Well, it's also in, like, bookstores and stuff.
Sure, yeah,
If you don't want to pay the exorbitant FYE prices.
No, you're right. But ultimately, I thought it was a really good match. I can't say in good conscience that it was better than a DIY versus Revival match.
It was different.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, that's the kind of thing. It's like, it doesn't necessarily need to be, in theory, and this is a good example of this, it doesn't need to be better than a singles match like this. It needs to be the best version of what it is.
Yeah.
And it was probably just about the best version of what a triple threat between these guys could be.
Yeah, absolutely. I can get behind that. In Asuka versus Ember Moon, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I am slightly surprised that Asuka retained. I really thought they were. I mean, I really thought, whether or not we thought it was deserving or not, I really felt like NXT was going to, you know, shine a spotlight on Ember Moon. However, I do have a little bit of a theory of how exactly that's going to play out in the future. That morning, I believe, they had announced that there will be a women's tournament, just like they did with the Cruiserweights last year. There'll be a women's tournament during the summer. I feel like that's going to be pretty much Asuka's playground.
Yeah.
And then that's how they bring her up, is through, you know, the big spotlight of, you know, the women's tournament. Because from what I understand, it will incorporate actual WWE talent as well as outside talent.
Yeah.
If we're to believe the posters, which is 100% nothing but WWE talent on the poster. I was like, okay, well, at least, you know, if the NXT women don't show up, then I call some BS. I can understand if main roster people, you know, if that's a little scarce.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear that Ember Moon is the heir apparent to Asuka right now. And I mean, the way the women's division has gone through NXT, they've had the golden child pretty constantly.
Yeah.
You started with Paige, and then you went to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And you kind of had this nice moment where, you know, then it moved on to Sasha Banks and then to Bayley, but a lot of them were still there to have that four horsewomen, you know, time period. But there was a pretty clear through line of it's Paige, now it's Charlotte, now it's Sasha, now it's Bayley, now it's Asuka, then it will be Ember Moon.
Right.
And it's pretty obvious Ember Moon is going to be that person.
Sure.
I thought she did a good job. I thought she did the best I've ever seen at this NXT, at this TakeOver special.
Yeah.
It's still really hard for me to buy her beating Asuka.
Sure, right, yeah. And I'm not saying I totally buy in myself. I was just saying, like, it just, the way they had shaped everything up to this point, I would have thought that this was the moment, you know.
And I am,
because none of the NXT titles changed hands.
I don't want it to happen a lot, but I do think on occasion it would be cool for people to say, I've moved on to Raw or SmackDown, and now I have to vacate my NXT title and leave undefeated. Paige did that kind of haphazardly.
Well, yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they should lose, you know, somebody should beat them. That's how it should work.
Right.
But on very, very rare occasion, I think...
Just so it wouldn't be as predictable for us to know, it's like, okay, now that person's going to be moving up.
Right.
But just, you know, kind of throw a wrench into what we usually typically see.
But, like, to have Asuka debut undefeated...
It would be pretty amazing, yeah.
And I think she has demonstrated that she would be the right one to do that with if they're going to do that.
Yeah. And it's worth noting, this morning they already announced what the next takeover was going to be. It's going to be a month from now, I think May the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Accompanying the, I think it was a Backlash pay-per-view.
Okay.
But it's going to be in Chicago. NXT Chicago. Okay,
that makes kind of sense.
So whatever pay-per-view is going to be in Chicago that week, might be Payback, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting that if they're already striking with a takeover this soon.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's like a month and some change, but it still feels a little soon.
I know, they're really wanting NXT to be the third brand.
Sure, and I understand that. And I knew that they were going to do a takeover between this and Brooklyn. Because if you just do the big four...
Oh, absolutely.
Then, you know, you've got a pretty wide gap there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to fit in another takeover.
I think they might try and squeeze in two between
the, that
Mania and SummerSlam.
Yeah. Maybe that would be a good time to, you know, throw Full Sail a bone.
That would be nice. I do...
As much as we hate on the crowd, it is nice to go back to the original takeover setup.
Yes. Going to back to the, they really want this to be the third brand,
sure,
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need, you know, we have Raw and then we have Blue Raw. I don't need Yellow Raw. You know, They've done a good job with the brand split of SmackDown starting to identify it as like, oh, this is a different type of show.
Right.
NXT started off as a very different type of show. Even disregarding the, you know, first four seasons of like the reality show setup.
Right.
NXT, even with its takeover, you know, first growth period.
The Full Sail setup, yeah.
Yes. Was a very different type of show. And it's slowly starting to morph into a Raw clone.
Well, it's morphing a little bit to the main event or the main roster mode,
mm-hmm.
while the main event is kind of adapting a little bit of NXT as well.
Yeah,
you know, and they're kind of meeting in the middle.
Yeah,
you know,
and I understand that, and there is something to be said about like if you think this is the best way to put on a show. Why would you do a less than best thing for a different show just to be different?
Right.
But I don't adhere to the thought process that there is a best way to put on a show.
Right.
It's there are different types of shows. There are different styles, not just of wrestling, but of filming and of storytelling. And when you have an hour-long show, you approach that differently than a three-hour-long show.
Right.
And so I don't want... I see... the dark omen of it just being like, you know, Raw, but with young people.
Right. Okay, so I guess we should probably break away from our NXT philosophy session and go and cover this 7-8 hour, whatever you want to call it.
WrestleMania? All right, by the matches. So okay. We open up with...
Cruiserweight. Yeah.
Perfectly fine match.
Sure.
I mean, nothing to write home about.
Right. I mean, of course, you know, I love the
heel. It's a little disappointing.
Yeah. And I love the heel work that Neville did, you know, really working the eye socket.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately that leading to the end of the match. Again, it was maybe the expectations were a little too high. Cause you know, we all were like, this is going to be an amazing match. If not like the, you know, the best match of the night. So I don't know what all we were expecting, but ultimately, like, we got a good match out of it, and Austin Aries, you know, is as great of a wrestler as, you know, everyone has made him out to be,
mm-hmm.
and same goes for Neville.
It was a fine match, I don't have any complaints about, like, oh, they didn't do this when they should have done that.
Sure.
But it kind of felt like that was a solid main event for 205 Live.
Yeah.
Which is, like, know what to do when you're at WrestleMania.
Right. And, I mean, you never know, maybe being on the pre-show may have took the wind out of their sails a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're opening up, and they're in broad daylight, and it was hot. You know, it's in Orlando, and it was hot, apparently, you know. So, you've got all these factors. It ended up being a good match.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely top half from the overall night. Not the one that blew everything out of the water like a lot of people were expecting.
Yeah. It's just kind of a shame because I feel like there are a lot of instances like we had where, like, you guys really invested in it, watching the show with guys who, you know, watch just WrestleMania or WrestleMania or just the Big Four or even, like, Raws on occasion.
Mm.
But you want to be like, this is why, you know, you check out 205 Live. This is why you check out Cruiserweight. This is why you get excited when the ring goes purple.
Yeah.
And it was good, but...
Right. But it was also the match that was on.
It's not the thing I'm going to point to and say, this is why.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find something else to do that.
Yeah. And then we move on to...
Andre the Giant. Andre.
And I did realize why exactly, because we were watching on the network, I realized why the sound kept cutting in and out. It's because it was live on the USA Network.
Yes.
And they're cutting in and out of commercial breaks.
Yes.
I did not realize, we had a lot of people, so I couldn't exactly hear what all was being said.
Easily the worst armbar we've had so far?
I don't know. Well, I mean, about out of four.
Yeah, so it's not you don't have to reach back into history.
I mean, last year's was pretty bad. Like, mostly because it was just the bottom of the barrel kind of thing.
Yeah, but, like, this one felt worse to me.
Was it because of Gronk?
Highlight of the match was that security guard, though.
Who apparently... The security guard that got so worked. She got worked and no one cued her in on the business.
Don't know.
No one smartened her up.
I don't know where the miscommunication was.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did not get the notification that this would happen. And, like, obviously this was kept a secret. You know, a pretty closely guarded secret.
Yeah.
Because Mojo Rawley never flew up in the Vegas odds.
Right.
You know? And he would have, like, oh, this guy's here, who's his friend, sitting on ringside, he'll be having a drink for no reason.
Yeah, I am surprised that they used it here. I figured they probably would have waited until, like, he had a higher profile match down the line.
Yeah.
Which, as much as a lot of people roll their eyes at him, the WWE seems high up on Mojo, so...
Well...
It's probably gonna have higher profile matches in the future.
I did enjoy, upon rewatch of this one,
mm-hmm.
when he's doing that dumb, like, charge thing, where I'm like, that's not what you do in football.
Well, yeah, he's a tight end. He doesn't tackle. There's no shoulder tackling being done as a... Like, that's offensive pass interference at best.
But if you can tear your eyes away from him, you can see the security guard in the background being really embarrassed about what she did. Adorable.
I rewatched it as well. I didn't make that out. Wow.
So
I have to go back and check it out. I'm sure it'll probably get highlighted on Botchamania or something.
But, like, well, honestly, I hope that she doesn't get... I'm worried she's going to get punished for it. I hope she doesn't because...
Well, no, because she's doing her job.
Well, A, she's doing her job. And so you think about, like...
And B, she doesn't care who you are. If you're not adhering to the rules...
Right.
She's going to, you know, follow...
That's a giant 9-foot-tall Hulk of a man.
Yeah.
And her first thing was to run in and... physically interfere with him.
Yeah.
So
if anything, that lady deserves a raise.
Absolutely. And also, that added to the match more than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, you had a quick second where you're like, oh, he doesn't understand wrestling's fake.
I mean,
he's going after him.
I mean, I understand that we're not going to do our way too early WrestleMania predictions already, but are you saying you're picking security guard lady as the winner of the next year's Andre?
I would 100% be behind her debuting as Big Boss Lady tonight on Raw.
Big Boss Lady, man. Yeah, give her a contract.
Then finally on the pre-show,
we have the Intercontinental Championship match, Baron versus Dean. It just proved that Dean has the most protective finisher in the company. Even on the pre-show, if he hits his DDT, it's out. It's gone.
I tried to console myself, being like, "Oh, this is on the pre-show because they wanted a big match feel to finish off what was on USA, and Dean's a big match feel.
It is going to get probably twice as many eyes as many people that are watching."
Part of me buys that, but part of it is just like, all right, Dean.
But they also didn't announce it ahead of time.
Yeah. Dean is one of the safer wrestlers that they have, one of the better wrestlers they have. Mm-hmm. Dean just about carried the main event scene during injury extravaganza last year.
Right.
Dean carried SmackDown on its shoulders for the first 3-4 months of the brand split.
Yeah.
Like
they're really establishing exactly what they were. Yeah, he was
integral, just as much, if not more, than Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon into establishing SmackDown as his own separate worthy entity of wrestling, and you get to go on the pre-show.
Yeah, pretty much.
It
does kind of feel like a kick in the balls.
Yes.
But again, it's Dean, and he's gonna do what he's asked of anyway.
Now, I'm just saying, Triple H took on Roman last year and Seth this year.
We're not making our predictions yet. Not making our predictions yet, because you might be stepping all over my predictions. calm that ish down right now.
All right.
So on to the actual show. We get a little bit of a New Day intro, and I enjoyed New Day's involvement.
That was, if you're going to have a host, that's the appropriate way to have a host.
Interesting enough, zero backstage segments.
I think you're right, because
not even just with New Day, but with anybody.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting as how backstage happy they are on the regular, week-to-week shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, by that aspect, not a bad change of pace.
Yeah. I think New Day did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Come out, you hype up the crowd. They had 3 segments total, which were all very brief.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much just, this is happening and it's exciting. Let's cheer.
And you got another very not even veiled Big E innuendo moment where everyone just kind of paused and laughed and Big E kept eyeing Xavier. That's about as much as they're going to reference it.
Yeah.
In a couple years, they're going to reference it and it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Just not yet.
Opening match.
Yeah.
Shane McMahon, AJ Styles.
And again, I said it a couple times yesterday, interesting choice to start off the main show. Not the one I would have picked, but knowing what we know now about the tag team ladder match, maybe that was the right call.
Also, I will complain about booking decisions. I will gripe about people's status in the company. But one thing that they know how to do is they know how to open up a show.
Yeah. Most of the time.
They don't always know how to close it. And I can't say they know how to book a show through and through, because
I mean,
Johnny Ace Big Show will always be there.
There's been a healthy number of pay-per-views within the last couple years that have started with a Triple H talking segment. So, there's that. But, I mean, it's something that we've kind of accepted. If there's going to be a host, mm-hmm. they're going to open up Raw, or they're going to open up WrestleMania, and then we'll get out.
Well, this was the right match to open it up.
Yeah.
This was the get hype match, and it worked. And I feel like apologies are in order to Shane McMahon.
Yeah,
for ever doubting him.
Honestly, rewatching it, I feel like that match is in the discussion for match of the night.
Oh, I think so.
Shane clearly had been training. Mm-hmm. I guess we all forgot that he actually has some decent moves in the ring. On top of his new, MMA training that he's been doing. And then AJ's AJ, and he could, I feel like he can literally make anyone look like $1 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did some pretty insane spots.
Mm-hmm. There was almost no lag time in that whole match.
No.
Everything felt well thought out, well paced. The back and forth was incredible. And AJ got his first WrestleMania win.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
good things were done all around.
Oh yeah.
Next up, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Again, like that's those two matches. I feel like are in the top discussion of matches of the night.
Yeah.
I feel like Jericho and KO edges out anybody else. And that's not to, you know, to belittle any of the other matches because they were like just didn't miss by much.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin Owens and Jericho are probably going to be match of the night for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know me, I tend to go more with like the one on one matches.
I won't say you're wrong, but I'm surprised at the choice.
Okay.
I will say spot of the night was Kevin Owens' finger on the rope.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
That was 100% like spot of the night.
Yeah, no, I'll agree.
It was very good, and as for something that's kind of the end of this friendship storyline that's been going on since SummerSlam, felt like it was a good, you know, climax to a story.
Absolutely.
Which we'll discuss later about having issues at.
Okay.
But this is a good example of having a long-form storytelling, having it culminate in a match, and mm-hmm. having the match be a worthwhile
because battle. There's a very real chance that this will be it for the feud.
Yeah.
You know, because we know Jericho. Well, I mean, again, we're saying this before Raw tonight, so we don't know if this is going to continue for another pay-per-view or if this is it. So if this was it, honestly, this wouldn't be a bad endpoint.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Right. I'm blanking on what was next after
I
that.
I believe Raw Women's Title 4-Way was next.
Okay. Another good match.
Yes.
I honestly like that one maybe a little bit more than last year's.
I think last year still takes it for me because of the prestige and the finale that is felt right around it. I think this one was very, very good. I think Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Came out looking great.
She came out looking great and didn't overstay her welcome.
Didn't overstay her welcome.
Because we all were afraid because, you know, she is still pretty green. She still has her moments where you just don't understand what in the world she's trying to accomplish.
Right. But she left the ring looking like anybody would lose against her.
Right.
That it took three people teaming up. And not just for a second. Like, it was 3-on-1 until she left.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she left the match looking great. Mm-hmm. And then just everybody looked solid in the match. It was good back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still blanking. So what was after that?
Oh, I don't know. I only had that one for you. Oh, I figured awesome. You would look up the card after that.
Well,
I figured you would learn from your mistakes and look up the card, but
clearly I don't learn from anything. So
I think the ladder match was next.
That's what I want to say. And this is amazing podcasting going on right now.
We'll do the ladder match next.
Okay.
I
mean, clearly, you know, the big story in that is, you know,
is the Hardy Boys.
The returning of the Hardys, yeah.
So this match came on, we had already chosen who was going to win. Nobody chose the Hardy Boys because
right, they hadn't been announced yet. You know,
no
one really wanted to throw their hat that over that big of a wall.
Yes. But I want to say how good everybody else besides the Hardys was in that match.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Hardys were incredible in that, but the fact that everybody else came together and put on a fantastic ladder match.
Yeah.
And weren't, the match wasn't overshadowed by the mere existence of the Hardys.
Yeah.
Which was a very real possibility. And they pulled that off pretty fantastically.
Yeah. And a match that honestly wasn't really all that long.
Right. Either. It was not.
But still managed to get a lot done
mm-hmm.
in, you know, the 11 minutes that the match took.
Yeah.
And, you know, get on the Hardys for, you know, gaining the momentum that they had at other companies
mm-hmm.
and making it to WrestleMania. Now, I know there's still a lot of, you know, issues still going on that they're going to have to sort through as far as, you know, copyrights and everything. But and we don't even know if that's even going to be used in WWE.
But the Hardys winning at WrestleMania means that they have won the Raw Tag Team titles, the Ring of Honor tag team titles and the TNA tag team titles all within the span of a month.
Do they still have the Ring of Honor titles? I didn't know
how Supercard went. I don't know how that went.
I know they still have the TNA championship belts due to Anthem's own stupidity.
Yes.
I don't even know if I can blame Anthem, but at least Jeff Jarrett's.
due to something.
Sure. So that'll be interesting how that works out. That's how they go. We'll find out more tonight. Moving on, we got the mixed tag team match. Cena and I ended the match didn't even top 10 minutes, and I feel like that was fine.
Okay. So this match.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is very mad that I know that WrestleMania is the season finale of wrestling. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. The storylines have all built to this point. This is the comeuppance point. This is where you do your rating spike. I'm a little mad that you snuck a Total Bellas season finale into my wrestling.
Right.
At the same time, you know what? Fine. Wrestling's not just for me.
Sure. I mean, because you heard that response
mm-hmm.
when it all happened. I heard shrieks.
And I will still fully admit to choking up when Miss Elizabeth came down.
Well, I mean, yeah, you've got a beating heart, so of course you got a little choked up during
so, it. Like, well, I'm not going to say, like, this is the Miss Elizabeth, coming down to Savage of this generation, because not even close.
No.
Because that's a moment of pure art and wonderness.
Right.
I
will say,
I'm not going to be like, there should not be romance in my wrestling.
Yeah. And again, I guess I should have, John Cena in his promo chops, I guess I shouldn't have underestimated how that was going to go.
Yeah.
I figured it was going to be robotic, get on one knee, just, will you marry me, and then, that'd be it. But, he added some, personal stuff to it.
I will say, Miz did a weirdly good job of controlling the crowd throughout that match. The
crowd really was behind him.
Like,
at least that one group behind, that hard camera group.
And just good on him for playing into it. Good on him for being able to.
It's the first time he's ever been cheered, and that's including the time he was a face.
I will say though, if this was going to happen, and it was going to happen this way, and there was no way around it, I wish they would have not told Nikki. Do it as a real proposal. See what happens.
I mean, again, I know Total Divas and Total Bellas kind of portray the Bellas as, what's the word for it? Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But even she could have seen the writing of the wall, even if they didn't tell her.
This is maybe don't invite Al Roker.
Both of their parents were ringside.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe just if John Cena could have pulled Vince aside and been like, hey Vince, give me 5 minutes after my match at WrestleMania.
So how do you...
I'm going to get you some ratings.
Speaking of, how do you think that conversation went to book this match, to get this, idea rolling? Do you think Vince came to John Cena and Nikki?
I don't know.
Or vice versa? Because something tells me, Vince is like, I need a a hot feud, pal, to get into WrestleMania. You feel like getting married? Because I feel like that might have been what it was. That, John Cena may have been ready, but he just kind of got prodded and, pushed to the end of the plank by Vince.
Yeah, I don't know. And,
this could have been Cena's idea that he
for those...
That would make it, at least a little bit more genuine.
For those that don't know my personal story, Heather and I had a wedding date set before I proposed. So, she knew it was coming, and she knew there was a deadline.
But you still, you made it as much of a surprise as you possibly could have.
I knew when it was gonna...
Well, I mean, to her.
Yes.
She knew it was coming, but she just didn't know exactly when.
Right.
So you had at least that on your side.
So I won't fully be but there's a little bit
But for Nikki, this date was a big, red circle around that date on her calendar.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was fine. That was fine. That was for the Total Divas viewers that were watching, clearly. And you got to appease your entire demographic. I understand that.
And you know what? Like, there are some people who understand what I love now because they love the different version of this right. dumb thing.
Yeah, and there are people that we know that got into wrestling because of these reality
and
shows.
And are full on into wrestling, yeah. care about every match on the card now.
Yep.
But their gateway point was mm-hmm. Total Divas. And again, I came back and I'm really nostalgic about Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 26.
Right.
So I can't be like, your way back is dumb.
Right, yeah. I mean,
because
all paths lead to the ultimate thrill ride, am I right?
Boo.
Alright, so on that emphatic note, we're going to move on to the non-sanctioned match, Seth Rollins versus Triple H.
I really liked this match.
I enjoyed it too.
And like, there was a lot of poo-pooing on this afterwards online that I'm like, I did not see. Yeah.
And honestly, I kind of dug Triple H's entrance.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, it was by comparison to a lot of his other stuff, it was simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still kind of, you know, still kind of awesome at the same time. I liked the bike. You know, you said Stephanie looked like a White Snake fan, and you're absolutely right. But it all worked for...
No, I thought that was fine. I thought the King of Trikes was fine.
Yeah.
And I liked the fire thing that Seth did.
He went full Kingslayer because, you know, he literally was trying to make his ring gear Jamie Lannister's armor.
Yeah.
So, I liked all of that. I am a little disappointed that we didn't get any sort of shenanigans. Because when you say something's not... You know, a non-sanctioned match, no DQ, no nothing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, clearly there's going to be some shenanigans. Mostly because this is the part where it's like, okay, I'm holding out hope, and I'm not, you know, crapping on the company for not booking a Samoa Joe WrestleMania match, because mm-hmm. I think that's where he's going to be at. And he wasn't, you know? So maybe that's where some of the online hostility came from.
I don't... feel that way.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad match.
Well,
because of it,
I feel like, from my outlook, Seth had to win the match.
Yeah,
it would, like, Triple H winning at WrestleMania is like Vince winning at WrestleMania at this point.
Sure.
It's dumb and it doesn't make sense. This is where Triple H gets his yearly comeuppance,
right.
For things, heel things that he did.
Right.
So Seth had to win this.
Right.
I don't think
it was important for Seth's character to do it on his own.
Yeah.
Right. But then again, we know that, but WWE actually doing it is a whole different thing.
But the thing is, Samoa Joe coming out, I don't think would do anything exciting. He wouldn't be out long enough to do anything substantial to leave a mark.
But I'm just saying, like, the way that they had built things up to that point.
But the storyline would be, you know, oh, Seth Rollins can take out Samoa Joe and Triple H at the same time. This Samoa Joe must be worthless.
Fair enough.
Which is not what I want for Samoa Joe.
No.
But I liked it. I do understand the thought process that they don't call things unsanctioned matches. They use no DQ. They use no holds barred.
Yeah.
The terminology unsanctioned match is new, which kind of makes it feel like it should be like having to go one step further than these things. And it did.
But really, it was just a no DQ match.
It was just a no DQ match. Yeah. It was just like, oh, the hammer can come out.
Sure.
But I liked the back and forth. I liked the insistence on the knee. And
yeah.
I liked the pedigree thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there was going to have to be a I pedigree you. No, I pedigree you.
Sure, yeah.
But they did a really good job of it. And like... It went on for a long time, because my worry is, like, it was going to be, like, an attempted pedigree, a successful
sure.
pedigree.
I mean, yeah, if Rowan was having a spear off with somebody, yeah, it probably would have been dumb, but they actually made it interesting, and it paid off, I think.
Yeah.
And again, you know, kudos to Stephanie for taking a table spot.
Yeah. So, I really dug this match.
I did as well.
I felt like it was a good, strong payoff.
Have we hit your match of the night yet?
It would either be that one or the ladder match.
Okay. Yeah, no, the ladder match I felt like it was more of a good moment
mm-hmm.
than overall match, for me, personally.
Well, again, so much of the ladder match was like, I am impressed that I am digging this match separate from Yay, the Hardys are back.
No, yeah, yeah.
Because I haven't once once the music hit, once the Hardys came out, I was like, that's the point of this match. That's the highlight of this match. That's
what made that ladder match so good is that we remembered, oh right, the Hardys have been in so many ladder matches that they can try, they know different things that they can do to make this one more interesting and less bland than your typical WWE ladder match.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, a lot of them just kind of feel like paint by the numbers. Yeah. This one didn't, and not just because of the return, but just, you know, because you had these ladder match veterans who knew different little things that they could have done to make this one stand out.
Yeah.
So I fully understand that, and I'm not, you know, not crapping on you for it. I'm just saying that it's not my choice. I know. Here's a match. Okay. For a show that was 5 hours long, this one felt a little too short.
Yeah.
And that is Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
So, let's talk about payoff matching buildup.
Because, or lack thereof.
Or because, yeah, this is a textbook case of that failing to happen.
Yeah.
This is, again, I refuse to acknowledge that the Universal belt is a higher belt than the WWE belt.
Right.
This is the WWE title. This is the
one that has the
50-year lineage title. This is the top-tier title in the company.
Yeah.
This has been the central storyline of SmackDown since January.
Yeah.
And they've done a really incredible job with the whole Randy Orton wins, Bray wins at Chamber, Randy refuses, there's a, we'll find a new thing, Randy betrays, you know, now, like, the whole build-up, weaving multiple storylines, because that tangented off into the AJ and Shane thing,
right,
was really incredible, multi-segmented storytelling. A big issue with wrestling in general, and Raw in particular, is you're not watching one big show, you're watching 12 10-minute shows back-to-back that are all wrestling.
Yeah.
You watch this feud that has no connection to this feud that has no gone and on and on.
Sure.
And SmackDown did this great thing where several different storylines were interwoven all around this championship title, this championship story.
Yeah.
And so it coming down to this, how long was that match?
10 minutes and 30 seconds.
10 minutes. 10-minute match.
Of which you had Bray pretty much mostly dominating it.
Yeah.
As far as, like, the in-ring action with, you know, all the crazy side stuff.
So, they had a little bit of a feud before Randy joined the Wyatts.
I feel like it was a pretty well, you know, it lasted a good amount of time.
No, I'm not complaining about the time length.
No, yeah.
It's just, at that time, Randy and Bray Wyatt didn't strike me as having great in-ring chemistry.
No.
Not terrible. They're both good at their job. They're going to put on something decent. But you have guys that when they're in the ring, there's magic. And these guys did not have that magic.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You don't have great wrestling chemistry with everybody. But it was like, a lot of us like, ah, that's just me. I'm not into it. Whatever. Then this match, I was like, they really don't have great chemistry together.
Right.
And again, all the matches were pulled, you know, the match was fine. All the moves were pulled off correctly.
Yeah.
But it was very underwhelming. The ring thing, the ring bugs.
Yeah.
Video thing.
The projections.
Was cool once.
Yeah.
There's, and it just, it, once it happened again, you're like, well, rule of threes, now this has to happen a third time.
Yeah.
And it just, and the, like, it was one RKO at the end.
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah. I was not impressed with this match.
No, it was like,
I kind of hit a wet thud kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not thrilled with Randy being the winner.
Yeah.
But then again, like, I guess I should learn now to not ever predict Bray to win a WrestleMania match.
No, Bray is 0-3.
Yep.
If you count The Rock making fun of him until he beat up Eric Rowan. He's that's 0-4.
Really, yeah.
He's the opposite of Undertaker.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I guess we probably won't see them until Tuesday. Next, no surprise that Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg was the shortest match of the night. Mm-hmm. But it still was more than all of Goldberg's matches up to this point in the past 6-7 months.
How did you feel about this match? You go first, since I'm the weird Goldberg defender. Somehow I've fallen into role.
It may go first. With Goldberg probably leaving, I'm assuming he's not going to come and look for a rematch. Storyline, it made sense for Brock Lesnar to finally conquer Goldberg. And match length-wise, that's probably as long of a match as you're going to get out of a half-century-old Goldberg.
Yeah.
At least that's not as long of a match as he's probably willing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Brock Lesnar's credibility took a little bit of a hit these last few months. I guess this helps a little bit. I don't know. Again, it all is determined on how they book him from this point going forward. Like, it's a little bit of a recovery, but not enough to where I'm completely like, oh, well, he's absolutely going to annihilate the next person, which he probably will, and it's probably going to upset us because it's probably going to be up against somebody that we like.
See, I don't think I agree with you.
Okay.
And I want to look at this as a whatever, however long it was from Survivor Series to here. So you have Goldberg coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's some people will be like, that's it, you've already done it wrong. Goldberg should never come back. There's nothing. I think, okay. So Goldberg's coming back. That's clearly money on the table. You have to do that. You have to use Goldberg as long as Goldberg's willing to be used.
Right.
Business-wise, because that's just that. That's how you get money.
Sure.
But I feel like... I almost feel like there was like a creative meeting of like, all right, we have Goldberg, we have Brock Lesnar, what do we do with it? And like a couple of different ideas were pitched, and I was like, let's do all of those.
Sure.
And they don't fit together.
Yeah.
Goldberg crushes Brock Lesnar in a minute 26. Fine. That's a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there? Goldberg does that, crush, leave, then... Brock is, for the first time since he came back, Brock's an underdog. Brock has a redemption story that he needs.
Yeah.
That's a really weird, interesting place to put Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Okay, let's see where this goes. That, entirely separate, if it's just this WrestleMania match, hey, these guys can't go super long, but let's just do... You know, WWE 2K17, unlimited finishers.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Let's watch the live-action version of that. Fine. Let's see a lot of spears. Let's see a lot of jackhammer. Let's see a lot of F5s.
A lot of suplexes.
A lot of suplexes and one Super Mario jump.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Right.
Fine. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, wrestling will forever have its roots in sideshow attraction.
And honestly, in the grand scheme of things, this probably is... good of a match as you can expect from those two against each other.
That match is a perfectly acceptable sideshow attraction of big hulking dude fighting big hulking dude.
Yeah.
But together as a cohesive storyline, this crumbles to pieces.
No, absolutely. And we touched on it before where it makes no sense why Goldberg would accept a challenge from Brock Lesnar after he beat him like that.
Right.
And after the Rumble. Because it was after the Rumble that Lesnar issued the challenge. They should have waited until Fastlane, whenever he got the championship, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And either at Fastlane or the night after, Brock comes out and attacks Goldberg. And Goldberg gets angry, and Goldberg is the one that issues the challenge.
Yeah.
You know? From a storyline standpoint, that holds together way better than what they went with.
Well, and you talk about, like, Brock has lost credibility, but to me, he's not. This match is a clear indication of, oh no, Brock is still the super final boss of the WWE. And not in a, Brock Lesnar had a story arc. No, it's just, it's Goldberg's leaving now, so let's all return to default position and never acknowledge that Brock was anything less than beyond greatness Superman.
Sure.
I mean, that's it. He comes and I fully expect him to be the undefeated conqueror for all intents and purposes in his next feud. I would love for there to be like a moment of like, but Goldberg's gotten in your head. There's cracks in your armor. We can work with this. But I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
And part of that is just because, like, whoever has to talk against Goldberg, has to talk against Brock, has to talk against Paul Heyman.
Right.
And Paul Heyman's going to talk the roster under the table.
Sure.
Which is not his fault. That's his job.
Sure.
But we're stuck in this spot where the last 5 months of wrestling meant nothing.
In the grand scheme of things, yeah.
It does. I mean, Brock's champion now, but like, that was this roundabout, convoluted way to get there.
Yeah.
And I don't look back on Goldberg's time fondly, which I feel like I could have if you had done either the Survivor Series match or the WrestleMania match.
Right.
I think those are both perfectly viable options for a one-time Goldberg return.
Mm-hmm.
But to put them together as bookending a feud,
yeah,
are atrocious and fight against each other, and it crumbles the entire story.
So you're thinking a better option than what they went with would have just been like a one-off match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I think either one. Again, like, it's not that everything with Goldberg was doomed to fail, but to try and do everything, you end up with nothing.
Yeah. No, you're right. They try to do too much. I'll definitely agree. They didn't go with just what made sense.
Yeah.
You know? They try to make it too, like you said, like it was a convoluted way to get the belt onto Brock at the end of WrestleMania. But really all you had to do was just, you know, take a more direct approach and, you know, just keep it simplified. Moving on to the second shortest match of the night. It was 5 minutes. 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Really? Yeah. It felt longer than that, but it was the six-pack challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Not called a six-pack challenge until WrestleMania. I would have liked it if they kept it open-ended and got, like, some surprise in there. But again, I felt like that surprise should have been Naomi.
Yeah. I liked this match.
Yeah, it was fun. This match, again, like in a multi-person match that is one fall,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, it should probably be quick. Yeah. You know? I mean, granted, it wasn't like a surprise roll up win or anything. It was still a tap out.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of makes sense.
But this match was a nice reminder that SmackDown has a nice little women's roster.
Yeah.
Like, it's got several fantastic wrestlers.
It's got a better rotation on a wide variety of women.
Yeah.
Whereas Raw is focused on the same three, now four,
mm-hmm.
women. SmackDown, it's you know, shares the love a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, and it has built several different characters.
Sure. Who
all worked well together.
I mean, because of
Naomi won, but like, you got to give Alexa Bliss MVP of that match.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, that's the thing that with the Smack, like the format of SmackDown has done, it's turned Alexa Bliss into like a surprising choice to bring up from NXT at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now it's like, well, no, she's a main event talent for the women's roster on SmackDown.
But she had different, and she fought, you know, for a couple seconds each person and had different interactions with them. She
as the fighting champ, she took it to pretty much everybody that showed up in the ring.
But like, she had this get out of my ring attitude towards Carmella.
Specifically towards Carmella.
Towards Carmella, like, and that wasn't Becky she wanted to beat. Carmella she wanted gone.
Yeah.
And that rang true throughout the whole match. People had different approaches to different women.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it was a really good way to showcase the division and a whole as a whole. And it really got me amped to see what more they can do with this division.
Yeah. No, you're right. That leads us to the last match. First of all, great to see JR.
Yes.
You know, with everything he had gone through, it was nice to see that. And now we learned this morning that he has signed a 2-year deal with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure exactly what all that entails. It doesn't sound like it's full time.
Yeah.
But honestly, it sounds like a way to kind of keep him busy and keep him out of the house, which honestly
is a good thing.
That's the best thing you can do at that point. Maybe still give him some time to, like, you know, process everything.
Yeah.
And then maybe not start him until a little bit, but, you know, whatever.
But
as for the match itself, clearly, like, the big thing that comes out of this match is, you know, I feel like it's pretty obvious that Undertaker's retired.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, like, that's almost like a scrub, like, a scrub's, like, perfect send-off for JD. And then him, and, you know, he completely ignoring the fact that he came back the next season, you know?
I will say, this is wrestling and retiring doesn't count, so, sure. Like,
oh, yeah.
If he decides to wrestle at 34.
That's his own decision, then, you know.
That's, I can't be like, you're ruining what is a pure and good thing.
But, because, you know, it's something that we've always wondered on, exactly how they would portray Undertaker leaving the ring for the final time.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I feel like they nailed it after the match. Everything they did after the match, it took a little bit long. But the moment he started, like, you know, putting his ring gear in the middle of the ring and walking out and then going down, all that stuff I thought was perfect, with, like, the lone light shining out of it at the very end.
I have thought about almost nothing else since that match.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have...
And that was part of the reason why, you know, rewatching WrestleMania a little bit today was so important. It's like, you need to remember that other things happen.
Well, I've... It has been such a mull of, like, did I like it? Was it appropriate? Like, you know, all sure. These kind of thought processes. The biggest thing coming out is I do feel like now that this is a retirement, it is. It's a retirement moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the overwhelming emotion is a thank you, Taker.
Sure.
I've read so many stories about people talking about, like, I remember watching, mm-hmm. you know, being 8 years old and watching this with my dad. It's weird to watch him retire with my 8-year-old on my lap.
But what's great about that for WWE is that they're focusing on that. And for once, the fan conversation the day after WrestleMania isn't how much we all hate Roman Reigns. You know?
So, again, the
match honestly was subpar at best. But no one's talking about that. And honestly, like, no one's really going to... I don't feel like anyone's going to focus on that going forward. They're just going to be remember... You know, they're just going to remember, mm-hmm. you know... walking out.
I have absolutely the same thing. Like,
yeah.
I remember watching as a kid, and, like, Taker's one of the few things came back. Like, I remember coming back. I was watching with you,
mm-hmm.
and John Cena came out. I'm like, who's that? It's a dumb orange shirt.
Right.
Like, and you're like, that's new Hulk Hogan. Like,
yeah.
I remember that, but, like, Undertaker comes out, and you're like, oh, I know that. I know exactly who that is, what this means. I know everything, because that is the through line. And to think about, like, I left for years.
Yeah.
And this, and Undertaker wasn't young back then, but, like, the through line that Undertaker has been for 3 decades of wrestling, everybody, just about everybody you talk to now can say, like, I remember when I started watching wrestling and Undertaker. It doesn't matter if you started, you know, end of the golden era, this ruthless aggression, if you started in Attitude Era, if you started in New Kid, like,
yeah,
any time you started, you remember the Undertaker being there.
Yeah, I mean, like, what age does, you know, a child usually, like, oh, this is when they can start remembering things? Mm-hmm. It's probably not for, like, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I literally can't remember a time that there wasn't The Undertaker, you know? Yeah. Because he was, like, I was 2-3 years old when he debuted.
So the thing about Roman.
Yeah.
Because, again, I thought about this for, like, going on 20 hours now.
Right.
Trying to decide how I felt about this match.
Yeah.
Couple things. One, it was not a match worthy of sending off The Undertaker.
No.
That being said, I don't know if The Undertaker is capable of putting on a match worthy of sending off The Undertaker.
That's worthy of that
legacy, yeah. And that's not Roman's fault, and I can't hold that against Roman.
Right. Because, again, it's a conversation that we had while we were watching is, you know, think of all the really good pay-per-view matches of the last couple years. I would argue about half of them is involving Roman in some way.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, that stops being a coincidence, yet he's still, you know, the popular guy to, you know, to be the magnet of everyone's ire.
I have rewatched that WrestleMania 30 streak-ending match a dozen times.
It's not a great match.
But it's not a great match. But there are... That is one of the few matches that gets better on a rewatch.
Mm.
Knowing what's coming.
Right.
Watching Undertaker do a tombstone for the last time. Watching Undertaker walk the ropes for the last time.
Yeah.
Because he does all of his highlights in that match. Despite, we find out later, him being concussed. Like,
yeah.
He does all of the Undertaker's greatest hits
in
that match. And so that match...
Meaning that even on autopilot, he was still capable of it at that time.
Right. That match serves as a better and a stronger end of a legacy than this one does.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's Roman's fault. I think Roman did everything he could. I think Roman went above and beyond.
I would argue that probably the last time Undertaker was probably physically capable of living up to that legacy and it being a retirement match would probably be around WrestleMania 29.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 30 kind of gets scrubbed because of the injury, you know? Yeah. Because again, it's not really his fault. So there's very few people on the roster that could probably pull that kind of a match out of him, at this point in his career.
But I think back to the last time I was like, oh, I don't know what'll happen. And it was 28. It was Triple H.
Yeah.
The Hell in a Cell match.
Because they were already calling it End of an Era.
Well, it was called End of an Era.
There was a point where, you know, Triple H hit a pedigree and he got super kicked.
Yeah. And that had the two count catch a breath in it.
Yeah.
And going into that match, I was like, I could see this being the end. I could see this breaking the streak.
Yeah.
Did not feel that way about CM Punk. Because CM Punk, and that was because of the Paul Bearer thing.
Yeah.
He had to be punished for what he did.
Yeah.
Did not think for a second that Brock Lesnar do it.
Yeah, it wasn't
surprise. Good, you know, surprise on their job. They totally worked me. Not for a second did I think Bray Wyatt was going to do it.
No.
Not for a second did I think Shane was going to do it. And then not for a second did I think Undertaker was going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the fundamental breakdown of this is I don't for a second think that Undertaker can do it. And you go back to the two big retirement matches of this era are Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You go into those smarkiest of smarks, knowing that they're retirement matches, knowing these guys are going out on their back. And both of those matches, and it's not the matches themselves, but it's the build up to both of those matches.
It's the atmosphere. Yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah.
And that's why I know I'm in the minority, but I will put Taker Shawn Michaels 2 over 1
because it completes the story arc.
Well, because of the buildup, because I went into that being like, yeah, but maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
And even when I know. Yeah, even in the Ric Flair retirement match, and, you know, again, a lot of it is because of Shawn Michaels, but it ended up being one of Ric Flair's, you know, best matches in a while. And at least, you know, the couple years leading up to it.
Well, and you had this, the next match you lose, you're done thing, started in January?
Yeah, it lasted a good while. And it was, I think it might have been the summer before.
Really?
Yeah, it lasted a good while.
But, like, you see it happening, you see it slowly starting to build, like, oh, this is a retirement storyline.
Yeah.
Oh, I see where they're headed with this. I see him ending this at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, but the build-up, and but the, it was Ric Flair, and but the...
Yeah.
But
with all that being said, that's why I'm glad that they didn't announce ahead of time that this was going to be... If Roman Reigns beats Undertaker, then Undertaker must retire. Like, mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't do that, because then there is another sense of, you know, it's another high bar that they can't possibly meet just because of, you know, physical restraints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's enough pressure that it's a Undertaker WrestleMania match, you know, and that legacy alone on top of this is going to, you know, possibly end, you know, one of the best pro wrestling careers ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that they didn't go that route because they easily could have.
Oh yeah. 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 But, so the, at the end of the day, I think Roman did everything he could.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even say Roman was the wrong choice for this. But
it was apparently Undertaker that requested John Cena. That's the word coming out today.
Yeah,
is that he originally requested John Cena,
and I don't want to like sit here and be like, oh, John Cena would have done this, Roman didn't do this, and compare specifically those two matches, because there is John Cena versus Undertaker is one of like the great things that we'll never get to see, the could have beens, but it goes on a list of the could have beens.
Oh sure,
like the Sting Undertaker is just as strong of, oh, but what could have been.
Yeah.
You know, you can go down the list. I mean, Nakamura is old enough and good enough, like, Nakamura and Undertaker, like, you know.
That would have been amazing.
There's, again, the list is endless of things that we never got to see. I think the muted feeling of this retirement, that wasn't there at the other retirements, comes from the ridiculous, nonsensical overbooking of Roman.
Sure.
It is a casualty of that.
Yeah.
Because, again, not for a moment did I think, oh, what,
that, you know, Roman was going to lose.
Yeah. Part of it is also, I do want to say, it's hard to feel emotions that aren't worn out at the 7-hour mark of watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And I get you want WrestleMania to be your biggest thing. Yeah. And you know what? Like, this was a fantastic WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this is the best one since 30.
Since, yeah.
It's one of the first truly good ones. It has some big missteps towards the later half. But structure-wise, booking-wise, and several matches make this the best WrestleMania since 30.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was, like, I was not tired, worn out, angry, and done with wrestling at the end, which I was last year.
Last year we were going into Monday Night Raw. The only excitement is that, oh, we get to watch Raw with Blair. You know, that was really, really the only excitement there. But we were really going in kind of like a ho-hum, like, let's
more try not to wrestling.
Like, at least we got the Monday night after, and then we ended up pretty much almost sleeping through it.
Yeah. So I am capable of enjoying a full 7 hours of wrestling.
Yeah.
Which I discovered this year. As of last year, I was like, I don't know if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, yeah, I'm capable. You put on 7 good hours of wrestling, apparently I could stand to watch that amount. I am not as emotionally involved, though. And so there's a muted feeling surrounding that Undertaker thing that would not have been there if this had gone on an hour earlier.
Right. No, you're right. And again, like, it's just, and it's not even that there were long matches, because there really, I think there was only 2 matches that even touched 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and Triple H was the longest one with 25. It's just so many of them.
Yeah.
And I understand they want to fit as much of the roster on the card as possible.
So, here's your prediction, less than 24 hours out from WrestleMania. Does this turn Roman heel?
It should.
Does it?
In WWE's eyes, probably not. He's going to get one tonight. Probably worse. He's going to get...
I feel like the boos and the anger at Roman last night at WrestleMania were kind of muted because this moment was more about paying respect to Taker than being mad at Roman. I think Roman will get the full brunt of it at Raw tonight.
Right. Sorry, I was just checking last minute on Square Circle if there was any big announcement or thing coming on, because we were about a half hour before Raw.
Yes.
But yeah, no, Roman... is going to get the full brunt of it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Worse than he's ever gotten. So, again, if WWE did the right thing by Roman, not even saying what's right for them, but what's right for Roman himself, lean into, steer into the skid. You know, it's the best thing for him and his career at this point.
Yes. And that's the biggest message to come out of this after Taker's retirement is none of the flaws in this match I would put on Roman's shoulders.
Right.
I mean, the spear's a dumb move. I know I've said on this podcast before how much I hate the spear as a finisher. And he has a spear.
Sure.
Grumble, grumble. But a lot of people...
Even a good-looking spear is still, meh.
A lot of people point to that attempted reverse tombstone that didn't happen, twice or three times.
It's like, yeah, well, you know.
But, you know what? Undertaker's a big guy.
Yeah.
And Undertaker wasn't able to give the assistance required for that match to be... to be possible.
Yes, but no one wants to blame anything on, Undertaker. The guy who's retiring that night.
Yes. And I understand that. And again, there are things, sometimes you want to watch matches, warts and all.
Sure.
Sometimes the flaws and again, the mistakes and the messes add to it.
Some of the best matches will still have a botch somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes it's just, it's worth just overlooking.
But every issue is the chickens have come home to roost of the booking of Roman over the past 3 years.
Absolutely.
And it will not get better until something different has done.
Yeah.
This is because
up to this point, they haven't done anything different with him.
This is not a storm to be weathered.
No.
Which is the approach that has been taken. And
for what, 3 years now?
You know what? I can even see an argument post-WrestleMania 31, maybe even 32, where, it's not an argument I agree with, but I can see the argument of, we just got to weather the storm. We earnestly believe in Roman. We believe he's the guy. He's who you put on the poster.
But now it's 2 years removed from that, and nothing has changed from either side, from fan reaction or WWE strategy.
And part of it is, I know they're trying to make Roman... I know there's this, Roman's going to be the face, and you put that feather in Roman's cap, because John Cena's cap has enough feathers.
Yeah.
But at this point, Roman's cap is looking pretty full. He has main evented 3 WrestleManias in a row. How many people can say that?
Yeah.
He retired The Undertaker.
No one can say that.
He has the record for most Royal Rumble eliminations. I don't know. I mean, he's been a multiple-time world champion.
Yeah.
This guy, we're running out of stuff for him to do. It's about time for him to retire now, because he's done all that he can do
pretty much
in the business.
And he's knocked it out within, the first half of his main roster career.
Yeah.
So, all that wrapped up. We've got a few more moments. Let's just go ahead and make ourselves sound even more stupid. What do you think we see tonight? What surprises? Do we see a curtain call of sorts for The Undertaker?
I think The Undertaker will be acknowledged.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be there.
Will he be substituted by his pile of ring gear folded in the middle of the ring? Because honestly, that's not a bad way to start.
I think that would be cool. I know it's a different ring. I think that would be cool.
It would be a good way to start Raw. And I would hate to be the guy to have to take that during the show.
Yes.
Because they didn't, because they left that ring gear up until just about everybody was out of the arena last night. Mm-hmm. And it was some production guy that came and got it.
Yeah.
But they still waited. Mm-hmm. It was a good hour or so later.
Yeah.
But of course they can't do the whole show with that in the ring. So I hate to be that guy who's in an arena full of smarks that has to pick that up and go. So maybe not, that's not the greatest thing.
I think Roman will play into the heel tonight.
Okay. Does Roman open the show? I think he does.
You think Roman opens it?
I think he does.
Roman opens the show over the Hardy Boys opening the show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Because it's Roman and it's WWE. Of course he opens the show.
I think Roman's a heel for tonight. Not to say they're turning him heel. But especially last year when he did the, like, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy. Like,
yeah.
He teased, like, all right, they're going to boo me. I might as well say stuff that's worth booing.
Sure.
I think that at least that will happen tonight. And okay. I think they'll lean a little bit more into it. I think he'll mention The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll do it in a less than respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll probably say some respectful things, but I think he'll say some things about Undertaker to that'll elicit boos.
Okay.
Do you think that Matt Hardy will be broken tonight?
I think we will see, just like we saw in that post-match interview that went up on Snapchat and, mm-hmm. and other medias, I feel like he'll get elements of it. I don't think he's going to go full tilt just yet.
Okay.
If he ever does.
Okay.
But not quite. Okay, real quick. As for surprises,
mm-hmm.
I will give you two NXT call-ups that happened tonight and one returning surprise. Who do you have?
I have two NXTs.
Yeah, they did two last year with Enzo and Cass and Apollo.
All right, I'll say specifically on Raw, or what about SmackDown? Because they have two different live shows now.
Let's stick with what's happening tonight.
All right, because I don't think there'll be two NXT things tonight.
Okay, you might.
Well, because I think Nakamura is the obvious one.
Yeah.
I think DIY might be the next one,
yeah.
But please let them go to SmackDown.
They need
especially they if need the Hardy Boys are apparently going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
Please let them go to SmackDown.
Absolutely.
And returning is Finn Balor.
Okay.
My over the hat prediction,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not for a tonight thing, but I think within 6 months, they're splitting up the Hardys.
Okay.
I think they're going to try and have their cake and eat it too, and have Jeff Hardy be Jeff Hardy and Matt be Broken Matt.
Okay. Do you think they're going to try to retell their version of the broken story?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
But I think they're splitting them up and they're putting them on different brands,
mm-hmm.
so that they can get the Hardy magic and the Hardy pop twice.
Fair enough. Okay. I got Nakamura, obviously.
Uh huh.
Ty Dillinger.
Okay.
Got a little taste of it at Rumble. I think he finally makes his main roster debut. I hope for SmackDown, but I have a feeling maybe tonight. And then return, I'm gonna say Kurt Angle.
Okay.
Not like in ring.
In ring?
No.
Okay.
But now Finn Balor is a probably
GM.
Yeah, GM. They announced it tonight. All right. So that's it. We will be coming back to you later on in the week with a full fallout. You know, everything else that's happening this week. So you expect that towards the end of the week/weekend.
Yes. I guess we should do, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRTire, where we live tweet all times that we do tweet. Go.
Okay, that was weird.
Well, I was about to say classy and huzzah, but I was
I was like, that was really rushed. Okay. If you have any questions, comments, you have your own thoughts about WrestleMania and Undertaker's supposed retirement, send that over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to get this podcast and all of our previous episodes. Easy way to follow the podcast by subscribing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, you could give us a rating of
5 stars
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com, drop us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of projects we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.